Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Y'all love the Lord. I know I come up a little early, and we're going to pray and trust that we're going to hear from heaven tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all love the Lord? He's good, isn't he?
All the time.
You think we'll hear from heaven tonight. Amen. You say, man, I've done heard from it.
Sure.
Amen. I'm wondering if you will.
Thank you, Lord.
And you say, well, does that mean that you're not sure you're going to be able to speak what heaven has said? I know I'll speak what heaven has said. I like what Brother Buddy Williams said at camp meeting. He said, you don't like me to yell? And he goes, I wish you could hear. I wouldn't have to yell. That's what he said. You're dull of hearing, in other words, you know. And that was good. He said some pretty wonderful things. Enjoyed the brother's message. Amen. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for a family of God, a brotherhood, Lord God. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we could walk and be numbered with your family, Lord. We have a spirit, Lord God, crying within us, Abba, Father. Father, I thank you for natural fathers and dads. But Lord, I thank you most of all that we have a heavenly Father. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for my wife. But I thank you, Lord God, that I could be your bride, Lord God, that I could submit and listen, Lord God, and I could be encouraged by your voice, Lord God, and your word. Father, that I won't walk in the counsel of man, Lord God, but I'll walk in the counsel of heaven and of God. Father, teach me, help me, direct me, and guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. This was not where I was going to start out at, but I'm going to say something that the Lord just put in my spirit. Some of you could hear things I say about my father, and you'd think I hate the man, but I love my father. I say things not to make my father look like a bad man. I say things to make you know what I've had to deal with in my own life, because it was an iniquity and an inheritance that I had to conquer. And I say things for the strength of other people to see that the battle can be accomplished. I would never want to hurt my father. I would never want to say something to hurt him or cause him a problem or whatever, or offend even. But see, I would rather take a chance to offend him for the growth and the strength of learning and teaching and perfecting people. I'm called into a ministry of perfection. I didn't choose, I was called. And I have been chosen. But I didn't choose, I was chosen. Amen. So there's a lot of things that could be said. But the thing is I'm transparent enough to speak about my failures. Not that my failures devastated me, but I used them for a stepping stone to go to the next progression. I think, now, wait a minute, I don't like this. I'll tell you, you know, people could go out and live in wretched things, you know, and seem to go on. But not being involved in wretched things, I just don't like to displease my God or grieve the Spirit of God. And the thing is, the action that I did to grieve him will not be imputed to me as sin. It will not, thus saith the Lord, it will not be imputed to me as sin. It will not keep me from eternal life. It will not separate me from God. But it breaks my heart to know that I grieved him. Let me give you an example of my wife. And I know that I'm a married man like you or whatever. And yes, sometimes I offend her. Sometimes I say things or maybe get too strong or whatever. But not to the point she's going to leave me. She loves me, but I don't like to hurt her. You just sit there, it's your time, be quiet. We're talking about you, so be quiet. You know, she's saying like, well, maybe not leave you, you know. Boy, I'd sure hate the thoughts of having to train another one all over again. No, she's saying the same thing, no. See, a lot of times people think in this aspect like, well, I wouldn't do that because it would put me in hell. Well, that's okay. And that's the beginning of a revelation, a beginning of an understanding with God. But I could tell you that it's not the fact of going to hell. It's the fact of displeasing God. You know, and I could say, hey, my wife's not going to leave me, so I'm just going to keep her upset and mad at me all the time. Well, that's kind of foolish, ain't it? I want a relationship with her. I'd like her to smile when she sees me coming in the door. happens once a week. No. But you understand what I'm saying? So the thing is that there's something that I could sow that I could reap. You know, and I, as you've heard me say in times past, I said, a companion, husband, a companion, wife, is your garden. You don't like what you're eating? Sow differently. You know, and now there's a fine line in that. Well, if I'm not good to my wife, she's so mean to me. You know, she makes things rough on me. She's not nice to me. She yells at me. She won't fix my dinner if I make her mad. So I've got to walk on thin ice and pamper her, this and that. And you're a reprobate devil, brother. Because I ain't going to pet no devil. See, boy, you sure switch gears real quick. No, you know, see, brethren, this is a two-way thing. You know, no big eyes and little use. But this isn't where we're going. Let me go where I was going to start out at. And hopefully the Lord won't take us back to this place. Amen. And if he does, we'll go with it. Amen. Come on, brother. Amen. Smile. Jesus loves you. We've got things to do and to learn. How many want to grow in the grace and knowledge of God? I do. Now, I had a gentleman call me this morning. I'm going to share this conversation with you. And the reason I'm going to share this conversation with you is because it could help you and me. But he calls me up and he said, Brother Rob, he says, I guess he communicates with some of us. He's an inmate in prison here in North Carolina. He says, y'all got one of them big spoons. You know, I guess he hears about the children being chastened with a spoon around here. My wife used to bring one to church. She'd have it sitting right beside her. I could ask Stephen to come up and share the rest of the story. But mom didn't have to say something, didn't have to get mad, didn't have to yell. She seen a kid not paying attention, acting up. She would reach down, grab that spoon, just pick it up. And that meant, let's line up now. Do you remember them days, Steph? Try not to. Yeah. But this brother calls me and he says, Brother Rob, he said, got a big spoon? And I, you know, okay, we laugh a little bit maybe. And he said, really what I need is a bar of soap for my mouth. And he said, a guy kept pressing me. And he said, I lost my spirit. He didn't use that expression, but he lost it. I say he lost his spirit. He said he got mad and he yelled at him. The guy hadn't been saved long. He lost his spirit and he cussed him. He said, I need my mouth washed out with soap. You know, praise God. Okay, we had a confession. He calls a preacher up to make a confession. You say, okay, praise God. We've made a confession and now everything's okay. It don't work that way. You see, you can go to the law and you could admit guilt. And the law might show some more mercy, show you a little mercy because you turned yourself in and you confessed your guilt. And they might say, hey, let's show a little mercy. You're going to say, no, it ain't me. And they're going to hit you with the fullness of the law. So in the Lord, as the unveiled things or the unseen things of the spirit world sometimes could be revealed by the things we see of speaking that way. But he calls the preacher up, confesses. That's a good place, yes, good place to start possibly. We could say. But many times we think that if God grants this repentance and grants forgiveness to us, that there's no consequences for what we've done. And that's a gross, gross, grotesque error. And it's many, many Christian people think that way. You know, it's not a matter of, is God going to grant repentance? Sure, he does. But we still think of what we call consequences. Now, so my brother calls me up. We're going to go into scriptures here right directly. But I'm saying this for a purpose for you, Sister Sheila, Sister Hannah, Sister Irene, Brother Emmanuel. Because a lot of times we think, okay, man, I'm sorry. You know, everything's done now. No. So I started explaining to him what he's done. I said, okay, brother. You know, hey, praise God. Man, I've been there. You know, let's get back up and go. But let's talk about the consequences. Okay, I tell a child, this is the wood stove. It's hot. You know, a little toddler, it's hot. Like little Levi, okay, I got the point, it's hot. But one day he touches it, and he pulls his hand back and screams. The consequences for this disobedience, now there's pain. He says, oh, I got the revelation now. Man, I see what Dad was saying. It's hot. I got the revelation, but okay, I got this revelation. Lord, let it go away. Pain. Blisters. Swelling. Pain. blisters, swelling, more pain. It hurts. So this individual calls the preacher up. Hey, I said, well, let's talk about the consequences. And the Bible says that a man that can't control his spirit is like a city with a broken down wall. I've said this so many times, but do we hear it? Do we listen to it? What happens when the wall came down? So when we go back to the time that these Bible stories were, to you, you don't live in fortified cities now. They did. If a city wasn't fortified, brethren, there would be so many terrible things that would take place of raping, molesting, and looting, and stealing, and killing, and all these things. So now, and it compares it to a city with no walls. So you say, okay, well, I've made a mistake. I've lost my spirit. But he compared it. Now, this is God that compared it to a city broken down. So what does it open up to? It opens up, in other words, his walls are dropped. His hedge of protection is dropped. Okay? And now he's very vulnerable to all of these evil spirits that are all around. Condemnation, because in his phone call, he was not just confessing, he had condemnation for what he'd done. Condemnation, when you're sorrowful and you feel condemnation, is the reverse of faith. Okay? And you say, well, the Bible says that there's no condemnation, you know, in we as the Christians, you know, in the sons of God, that there is no condemnation. Yes, that is exactly what it says, but it says to them who not walk after the flesh. So when you walk after the flesh, now if you're walking in the flesh and you say have no condemnation, the only reason you can say it is because you're a reprobate. Are you with me? You're a reprobate. You have no conscience. Because if you've got a conscience, if you do something wrong, it's going to condemn you in your thoughts. But now, if I'm walking in the Spirit and I've made a failure, the Bible says that we get back up and we go. So even if we do fail, there's a way that we deal with the failure. Because we could allow the failure to bring so much condemnation to us, kill so much faith, and then we're in real trouble because our walls broke down. Well, I could be with you, Pastor Rob, Brother Rob, and I could do these things, and I could make you think that, hey, I got no condemnation. And I, man, hey, praise God, I'm all right. I'm walking in the Spirit. But you're in make-believe. You know, when you think of the word hypocrisy, it is a word that's derived from the same thing as an actor. It's an actor. Well, I'm acting like you expect me to act. I'm acting like a Christian. I'm acting like I got victory. I'm acting like I'm happy. You see somebody come up, hey, Brother Rob, how you doing? And smile. Boy, you see some big pearly whites. Man, how's it going, brother? Well, how you doing? Man, I'm doing good, man. But then yet you discern a spirit there, and he's not doing good. I had a man call me the other day. He said, Brother Rob, he said, I went and fellowshiped with him and worked with him, helped him, and, you know, loved him, and just fellowshiped there and had a wonderful time. He said, Brother Rob, people ask me, I say, I'm doing good. How you doing, brother? I'm doing good, man. Doing good. How are you doing? He said, Brother Rob, I'm not doing good. He said, I'm tore up. He said, my family. And started sharing things about his family and all the things around about him that are just crumbling and falling apart. He said, when I tell somebody I'm doing good because it's the right thing, I say, but I'm not doing good. Back to the consequences for a minute. Think on that for a moment. But now we're back to the consequences. The wall's down. Consequences, the walls crash down. Consequences for losing my spirit. Consequences for losing my temper. Consequences, the wall's down. Okay, so now if you had a fortified city and the walls are down, now you're really vulnerable to more complications. Okay, I messed up, but now more complications are going to come. More complications, more problems are going to come. Why? Why? Why did the walls come down? You brought them down. Okay? Now, you've heard me speak of the scriptures in the Bible said where they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. So they're fighting the adversary because the wall's down and they got a trowel in one hand and they're fighting the enemy and building the walls back up. I like that kind of determination. Amen? And I've been that guy before. I would rather have a shield of faith in one hand and a sword in one hand and not have to set one of them down You understand that? I don't want to set one of them down. I would like to have the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, one in each hand. But I would have to set this shield of faith down and get a trial to start building this thing back up. Determination. Amen? To fight the good fight of faith. Amen? And as I build that thing back up, I get the shield of faith back in my hand. You understand that? Now, consequences. I said, so this wall's down. You're opened up now for all this other adversary, for all these other principalities and powers of darkness. That's a bad enough thing right there if we stop there. But we're not done yet. I'm a servant of the Lord. I hope that's your testimony. Every brother, every sister in here, and every child. I'm a servant of God. I'm called to serve Him. Amen. I'm called to servitude. I'm called to take care of and be about His business. And when I'm serving my master, He's blessing me. And I'm walking in the King's chambers. I'm sitting at the King's table because I'm a servant to the King, but I'm partakers with Him of all of His blessings. Amen. We're still speaking of consequences, servitude. So now I'm a servant of the Lord. And because I have failed, now I can't serve the individual He sent me to serve because I lost the confidence and the faith. Let me explain something to you. To me, it's one of the most veiled and hidden tools of Satan. And you deal with it every single day, every one of you, and I do as well. But what happens is, especially if you're bringing the gospel of light to people, if you're bringing the love of God to people, and if you're sharing the gospel to people. Now, this brother that I've spoke with about this whole thing that we're talking about here has been sharing the Lord with people. He's very novice. He's very young. He doesn't talk as some authority. He talks as a man of humble life. He said, man, I failed my life. Here I am at age, and I mean, Satan has robbed most of my life. I've been in and out of prisons. He's a big man. He ain't going to take nothing off nobody. He knows how to say, don't mess with me. The way he walks, the way you look. Okay, this way is done. So now he's finding that that man has got to die. Amen. He's finding out that that big guy has got to die. Now, as I started to say this, I said one of the most powerful tools of Satan and one of the most veiled is this. What Satan is going to do is he is going to come at you and you're innocent. And one of the mistakes you're going to do is you're going to defend yourself because of pride. So I ended up dealing with one of the biggest parts of this failure with this individual's pride. Let me tell you how a big man thinks that's incarcerated. You know, I ain't going to take nothing from none of you. Don't mess with me. And they carry that attitude, that spirit with them. And, you know, it can be somewhat of a protection in such a way that people say, man, I ain't going to mess with this dude. But there's a proud thing that goes along with that. You see, when you ain't going to let somebody tell you nothing, pride. When you ain't going to submit to nobody, it's pride because you're better. If I submit to you, it makes you better than me. Boy, that's really weird. Do you realize that I could submit to somebody that doesn't have half the knowledge about the subject matter that I have? You see, this is importance in rearing children. You got to teach children to submit to things that are wrong, but you won't do it. And you start planting a spirit of iniquity in your children because you won't submit to something that's wrong. You say, Brother Rob, how can I submit to something that's wrong? Well, let me ask you this question before I answer the question. Did Jesus? I'm asking you, did Jesus? I hope your answer is yes. They called him a wine bibber. They called him Beelzebub. They called him all those things and he submitted to death. He surrendered his life and was put to death for your wrongs, not his. It was because of your sins and your iniquities that he died. He submitted to your wrong. So now if I'm a child of God, if I am born again and I am a Christian, quote, If I'm to be Christ-like, then should I be doing the same thing? Yes. We're still on a trail called consequences, brethren. So here's a man that got pride in the way because he's not going to submit. And the biggest tool of the devil still is this man's going to come up and he's going to try to break your spirit. Because if he could break your spirit, then you got nothing to say to him. If he breaks your spirit, you lost your mouthpiece. You can't say nothing because of what you done, not because of what he done. I shared a story with you where a man was doing everything in his power to break my spirit. I'm telling you, when I say he done everything but spit right in my face. Some things he done was worse than being spit in the face, mocking me. I had men come to me and say, Brother Rob, or say, Rob, man, why are you letting this dude do that? He goes, you need to kick his hind in. Boy, I'll tell you, I don't need you to tell me that because I got something in me wanting to do that so bad. I don't need your help. You know, I got this guy living here in this camp, and he is totally speaking in my ear. And I mean, I am dreaming of devices how to drown him, kill him, murder him, behead him, you know, shoot him, stomp him, whatever. You know, it was carnal mind. But it's not running this camp. Amen? I've submitted to that too many times. Now, when God has an expectation of you and you submit to that thing, consequences. And the consequences are tough. And they're hard. So now we've come up in this issue of pride being one of the complications of the wall being down. Let's talk about the consequences now. So here's men. I had two brethren get in a cross up in the prison. Okay? And they got into pride. And I've got more spirit than you. I understand Brother Pike more than you do. And this and that. Boy, and they start sword fighting. Boy, they're spiritual. Boy, they had the moves down, boy. Fencing real good, right? But here we got a bunch of guys that they've been talking to about God, watching this stuff. And one of them got a real boisterous, big, big man, big spirit, okay? And he walks away, and he's going across this day room or whatever they call it. Is that what you call it? He slap on the other side, and he's yelling back at the other brother, you're wrong, brother. You're wrong, and yelling at him. Consequences. Okay, I'm proud. I'm proving a point. I'm right. You're wrong. But you just lost your mouthpiece. You offended every man in that building by protecting your pride because you ain't going to submit to being wrong. Amen? And let me tell you something. The proper way to do that, if you were right and the other one was wrong, it isn't the way to deal with it because you're killing people and destroying people. You see, people think because they're right, they have the right to do certain things. But Jesus was right in everything that he did. But he submitted to death. He submitted to beating. He submitted to all of these things. They're driving nails in his hands. He just said, you realize what you're doing? I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And I am going to take and cast you into eternal damnation. He could have done it right then. But he submitted to the wrongs, amen, for my salvation and for yours and even for the one that was driving the nails. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. We have a sense of feeling justified because of the wrongs that people do to us into rebuking, to screaming, to yelling, and letting them know how wretched they are. But you're busting your walls down. And what you forget is that God sent that individual and prepared his heart to do exactly what he done, that what you're going to do is absolutely in the foreordination of God. And if you're going to fail and bring judgment to yourself, it was in the foreknowledge of God, and it's going to be made manifest and known of who you are and what you are. Stay with me for a minute, please. You say, well, Brother Rob, I'm not sure if I'm agreeing with this. Well, it doesn't matter if you're in agreement with it. I'm bringing the Word of God to you because I understand some things that have been given from beyond the veil. Listen, I'm not going to deviate from the Bible. If you come to me and show me you got Bible different than what I'm saying, we'll talk about it. But let me tell you something, brethren. I know the Bible well enough, line upon line, precept upon precept. And I know that I could bring some things out according to the written word right here tonight. And you can go get some Bible that is totally contrary to what I just said. And I do that sometimes here. I open up Bible verses and I show you two different directions. And you say, well, you tell me the Bible contradicts itself? No, I didn't say that. But in your mind, it would contradict itself because you don't know how to differentiate what dimension that's being spoke in. Amen? I stand on one side of the sacred desk many times, say, okay, I'm over here, I'm going to speak as a man. Over here, I'm going to speak as a God. Amen? I know which one I'd rather speak by. Now, so I'm trying to put something in this man's spirit, as I'm trying to put something in your spirit, for you will not continue to fail and fall into the same snare. Satan has snares, and he knows some of your weaknesses so well, but you should be taking those weaknesses and recognize them as you've been knocked down and 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 knocked down. Am I making the point? And the same thing, that somewhere you should say, wait a second, man, I've got a weak link in my wall, but you make it Brother Rob's fault. You make it your wife's fault. You make it your brother's fault, your sister's fault, everybody else's fault, instead of looking in the mirror and say, you know what? I need to learn to fight against the adversary. I need to find out where this weak link is in my chain. I need to know where to gird up this wall at and put some things in it. And God's the one that's sending these people to me. God is the one that is knocking me on my hind end. And you say, oh, God's not that way. Well, if he isn't, then why did he harden Pharaoh's heart? Why did he allow the child to be sick for he could show his glory? Come on now. You think you know God, but you're religious. And you got this intellectual concept, and you've got God built into your fabric of the way you think in your theology. But your theology is wrong. Your theology isn't lining up with the revelation of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you won't bend from your theology because you're in love with it, because you know it and recognize you're comfortable in it. But God's not comfortable with you in it. He's trying to take you into another place that you could walk in a greater place with him. And then we won't have the roller coaster effect. Now, consequences. 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 So, my wall's down. I'm being bombarded with all these other things that make that compound the complication. So now, it's just not that I failed. The wall's down and there's more adversary, more of these things coming against me. And they're coming against me strong. So now I got to sit and start building this wall back up. For I can get my faith back up. For I can get where I need to be. Consequences. It's a fight. It's a travail. I should have kept the wall girded up. Amen? I should have kept the mortar in the wall correct and right. You understand that? I shouldn't let it get weak. I need to keep up with things, do some maintenance. Amen? How many believe in maintenance? Sometimes people work on things, and they work on it when it breaks. But somebody that has revelation or understanding of mechanics, they fix it before it breaks, because sometimes when it breaks, it costs a lot more money. I went up to a guy not long back and I grabbed this water pump fan and I said, look at this, the bearings are about out in that. You need to do something. You need to do something. You need to fix it. It's still working. They keep driving. Then the bearing goes out and the fan goes right through the radiator. Now he doesn't just need a water pump, he needs a water pump and a new radiator. Consequences for slack. Consequences for not taking heed to counsel. Consequences. Amen? So, you know, in aviation world, you don't wait for things to break. You fix them before they break. In the automotive world, oh, I'll just go on the side of the road, call Brother Rob. Ignorance. Stupidity. Amen? And sometimes it costs you more money. You pull a wheel bearing off and pack it with grease. Brother Randy knows these things. And you pack it and you go on. Another guy just leaves it and it's making noise. And then when it seizes up, it seizes to the axle. Now we're having to change an axle. Instead of a $20 bearing, now we're replacing a spindle that might cost $300, $400. Consequences. Are we getting a mechanics lesson tonight? No, I'm giving you a spiritual lesson, because what you need is to get some things fixed in your life and you keep letting them go and the consequences are not what you want. Amen? We need to be in a progressive maintenance program. Amen? Through prayer. supplication, fasting, and pressing into the things of God in the kingdom. So I'm talking with this man. Okay, he messed up, man. He lost his temper. He's a young Christian. Cussed the guy out. So I could have said, okay, hey, he confessed to the preacher. Everything will be all right. The Lord's forgiven you. It's all right. But I took 30 minutes of time teaching him the consequences of what he's going to have to face now. Okay, so with this wall down, he's going to have blood on his hands. Why? Because now, number one, he ain't going to be able to reach that guy he cussed out. And maybe God put that guy in his face, and this is a tactic of the devil. Here, you're convicting me. You're bringing me understanding about Jesus Christ. I'm not resting as good now. My conscience, it's not as easy for me to go smoke dope with these guys. It's not as easy for me to snort the coke or whatever. It's not as easy for me. I got something happening in my conscience because you've been sharing Jesus with me. So now this guy wants to bring you to his level, for he don't have to submit to you. Amen? So what he's going to do, this demon spirit within this man that you're affecting, he's going to start poking at you. And he's going to find where maybe there's a breach in that wall in your life. And it might be your temper. Huh? But he's going to find that thing because the devil's shrewd. So he's going to start poking at you. And as soon as he breaks you down, you have just lost your mouthpiece, and everything that you said and everything that you've done has just went away. Because he proved that you're no different than anybody else. Now listen to me. You've heard me say this before. When Jesus was on that cross and that soldier looked up there and he said, this man must be who he says he is. Why? Because he wasn't doing it. This man had probably stood at the foot of no telling how many of men that were being crucified. You see, the victory wasn't in the crucifixion, brethren. There was men being crucified all the time outside the gates of Jerusalem. They had a place out there and they crucified many. Okay? That's the way they dealt with the lawless. Amen? But he saw many of these men cursing, cussing, swearing, hating, spitting, all of these things. But he sees this one that they're driving the nails and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He was speaking to the one on another cross over there and said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And he was still loving and reaching for people in the midst of such a catastrophic thing. I mean, being crucified, being a holy man stripped off like an animal, but he still was reaching. Amen. Now, when this man could have said, hey, guy, you know, sorry, dude, smiled at him. Went about his way. Maybe helped him conquer pride. Maybe helped him conquer temper. Help him conquer overconfidence. So God was in the arrangements from moment one, trying to build this man, trying to strengthen this man, teach him how to gird up his loins, how to be a real child of God, and he failed. But now there's another man there that he can't reach. Could be blood. And how about all the others in the circumstances round about? You see, sometimes we don't take and really look and figure what we have done and what the consequences or the complications are for our disobediences. Amen? Brother Pike made this statement about Jimmy Swaggart when he fell. He said, you know, he was so big and so... How many people are going to be shipwrecked in their faith because of this man's failure? How many people are going to fall away into a place that they don't want nothing to do with God no more because they loved him? And that was their man that they were looking to as a symbol of Christianity, as a present day revelation of a man of God, and he fell. See, that's sad. That's terrible. Brethren, you failed, I failed. Amen. So are we going to let those things and continue to keep stacking up consequences on us? Or somewhere are we going to say, wait a minute, I'm going to start sowing into this kingdom. I'm going to start building up this wall and this hedge of protection. Amen. You say, Brother Rob, that hedge of protection is the Holy Ghost. And I say, yay and amen. You say, well, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, do what Brother Pike said and stay full. Amen. You might have a guy walking with you today that's a big, mighty man of valor. You feel pretty good. You know, you get into prison talk, you get, you know, most of the guys will pull into some sort of a gang of some kind or another. They like to get into groups. There's more strength in groups. So one of the brethren was telling me, but these Mexican gangs, man, they really stick together. You know, and you get in these Mexican gangs and they're going to stand unified and together. And a lot of times they don't want to mess with that. Leave them be, man. They're numbered with them. Little brother from down there in Georgia, they just showed me some pictures of him. He's been arrested. He's in prison for several years. But it looks like he's got into Mexican gangs. You know, he's part Mexican, yeah. But he had a little Mother Mary around his neck. Could you imagine supposed to be part of the revelation of Jesus Christ and been indoctrinated in this message and in this word, two-part? He was never around, just a kid. But then yet, putting a Mother Mary? You say, but man, she's going to be spoke about through all the generations. Hey, I got highest esteem and honor for her. But brethren, I can't put a picture of her around my neck because I know what it symbolizes in another religion. And it would number me with false doctrine in another religion. Not that I disrespect Mother Mary. You'll never hear me speak a word against Mother Mary, but I don't pray to her. But see, if you're a Catholic, you do. You know, Mama will understand me a little better than Jesus will. Mama will, you know, she's a little more merciful. Come on, that's where they're trained. So I'm going to talk to Mama. The son here is kind of shunning me. He's kind of busy, but Mama, man, she's compassionate. She'll hear me. I don't think so. Amen. Consequences. Brother Pike, I did some things so similar to what we're talking about with this man. No, I didn't cuss. Didn't lose my spirit. I was violated and robbed and cheated and stole from. And I retaliated. The individual that violated me retaliated with a vengeance and a bitterness and a hate and a crudeness. I retaliated to come back with strength, but I was wrong. I should have never done that. Brother Pike said, consequences. He may not have said that, but it fits pretty well what I'm saying. This is what he said. He said, Brother Ron, pray that God gives you the strength to bear the stripes. Pray that God will give you the strength to bear the stripes. Amen. And I did. And I was striped. And I was crucified. Amen. And guess what I was? Innocent. I never violated God. I never violated the brotherhood. Nobody. But you say, then why were you crucified? For the same reason Jesus was. If you can come to that revelation. You mean you were innocent, Brother Rob? I was absolutely innocent. Amen? But I took a beating, brethren, because I didn't defend myself. I came in one night into men's meeting. I'm going to share this because this parallels it perfectly. I came in walking next to a man that told me. He called me up, and Brother Pike was expecting me at the church that day. But he called me up and he said, I talked to Brother George and he said he would rather have you go with me to help me do this job. He said, because we got to get this job done. And he wants you to do that. I said, no problem. I didn't question the guy that was an elder. So I went off and helped this man that day. It was on a Monday. Monday night's men's meeting. We come straight in from the job, still in our work clothes, and come right into men's meeting. I walk right into men's meeting. I get openly rebuked by Brother Pike. He said, Brother Ram, we had need of you today. You were supposed to be here on your post of duty. All I had to do was look at the man standing next to me and said, Brother Pike, this brother here told me that you said you want me to go with him. Now in your mind, brother, I'm telling you, and you, and you, that's what you would have done. You said, wait a minute, this guy done this, but the Lord told me to shut my mouth. Let me tell you what I think about the brother that was next to me that lied to me, number one. He lied to me, and you're going to defend him, Brother Rob? Jesus defended me, my friend, when I needed to be cast into hell and crucified and put into hell. And he stood there and said, go ahead and drive the nails in. Forgive them. And he took me into the kingdom, my friend, with his mouth shut, going to a slaughter silently. Now, if he could do that for me, can I do the same thing? And if I can't, I'm not worthy to call myself by his name. So I walk into this meeting and I get openly rebuked. He said, you were supposed to be here. And I said, I'm sorry. I said, it won't happen again. Now, if this man was a Christian that stood next to me, there was an elder in the work of God. If he would have been a Christian and seen the wrath of God of my pastor coming down, he would have said, hey, Brother George, listen, I called him and asked him to go with me. I thought that we need to get this up. That would have been a son of God, a child. He would have took the wrath himself, thinking that this. But he sat there silently and never spoke a word. Let me tell you something. That man has a judgment day for that very thing. And maybe it's already come. I trust it has. But he's been turned over into air, gross air. He's departed the doctrine of the revelation of Jesus Christ and gone off into air. Are you think it's because of what he done to you? Absolutely not. He didn't do that to me. He done that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it showed a spirit. It showed back when he was sitting under one of the most powerful men of God that I'd ever met. It showed that he had a devil then. And it could make you start understanding why that man of God would say, I could count you on one hand. And this was one of the cream of the crops. Amen. I could share things with you that would probably shipwreck your faith that I witnessed at a place called Little Bethlehem. But I wouldn't do that because it was a place of power and strength. Peter denied the Lord, but then yet he had the keys of the kingdom. Judas carried the purse and walked with the Lord God Almighty. But then yet he was the devil. So are we going to discount the Bible because of that? Let me tell you something. God has his way in all things. And what you need to do is learn to submit yourself to God, to the wrongs, to the spittle, to the hate, to the bitterness, to the allegations. But you got pride and you want to defend yourself. And your pride brings destruction and a fall. And you can't figure out why certain things are taking place sometimes and certain things are happening in your life, but you need to get rid of the obstacle. The obstacle isn't the man downtown. The obstacle isn't this or that. The obstacle is something in your life, and God's going to keep on putting these things there until you get the revelation of this thing and remove it, conquer it. You're more than a conqueror. Brother John, you're more than a conqueror. Amen? That's what the Word says. I'm going to believe the Word. I'm not going to believe the circumstances. Amen. Some of you believe the doctor too much. The doctor said this, the doctor said this, the doctor said I got to do this, and the doctor says I got to do that. You know what my doctor said? He said, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm being healed by his stripes, amen. And I happen to believe that. And you say, well, there's nothing wrong with doctors. You keep working it out. There is nothing wrong with doctors, but it's wrong the way you submit to the doctors. And it's wrong the way you let them put poison in you, and you keep taking the poison. And it's wrong that you keep believing their report, and you keep walking in sickness. That's what's wrong, because you got more confidence in the doctor than you do God. But you would never admit that. You run to the doctor when you get a snotty nose. Shame on you. My God, what is wrong with you? Get a life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Consequences, man. All right, Romans 5th chapter. Now I can go to where we're supposed to be at. Was I talking to you, Brother Billy? You just going to rip off your eyebrows, or is that yes, sir? Or he drops his head. His wife says, man, you got me. I got me, man. You think I'm up here separated from this kind of preaching? Because I'm delivering the message and I've got all this stuff conquered and I got all the T's crossed and man, I've got to deal with this guy too. You know, I got pride just like you do. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. I deal with lust just like you do. All men's hearts fashioned alike. I deal with bitterness. I deal with hate. I deal with anger. You think that because I'm called to preach that I don't have to fight these things? And Jesus dealt with every one of those things himself. That's what the Word of God says. And he had to overcome them all. Amen. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. I've learned some obedience by my suffering. Amen? So, are you qualified to do what you're doing? Evidently. I told you he's qualifying the qualified. Amen. I'm qualifying the qualified. Amen? Am I qualified to preach this message? Yeah. What made you qualified? Because I failed many of these things, but I got back up and kept going. And I'm trying to help you to know where the pothole's at. Amen? You went down and got your front end line. When you hit the pothole, I had to replace the whole stinking car. All right, Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherewith we stand. Praise God for faith. Amen. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Okay, let's stop now. Let's go house. Why would I glory in tribulation? I know why, but I'm just saying, you know, I'm starting to like this term. It's kind of a new term, you know. And in the etymology of snowflake, when I was a kid, a snowflake was something we shoved them together and threw at our friend. And when we was on it, we put a rock in it, huh? I'd never done that. Oh, wait a minute. But nowadays, it's taken on a new, through etymology, it's taken on another form. You know, when we think of an oxymoron, it's something that's two things that ain't compatible. Well, being a snowflake and a Christian just don't fit in my mind. But my goodness, help us, Jesus. We sometimes are snowflakes ourselves. I think of the great men of God and the endurance that they've done. You know, Brother Willow don't smell good. You know, and I got to sit on this pew with him. It's too cold in church, too hot in church. You know, snowflake. I turn the air conditioner off, open up the windows, make you sweat a little bit. That's the way it was at Bethlehem, wasn't it? No air conditioning in that church? None. But I could have handled it. You snowflake, you would have melted. Man called me today from prison and he said, Brother Rob, when I would get out, I'm going to get food stamps. I did call him a snowflake. I mean, the guy's making preparations to get food stamps. I said, Brother, I'm the food stamp program. I said, I'm giving food to people. What kind of ignorance is that? He should be telling me, hey, when I get out, I'm going to start feeding people. But I'm going to go get food stamps. What kind of stinking stupidity is that? You know, the program's there for a reason. There's women that are going through things, maybe husbands being misplaced, some, and if they do something like that, that's why the program's there. But it ain't there for some 35-year-old dude getting out of prison to go get food stamps. I'd rather get my hind end kicked. Oh, that's that pride. You call it whatever you want. Amen, but I'm not going to be standing on food stamp line. Huh? You say things might change, Brother Robert, could. You know, but I'll tell you what, if I've got health, I should say, if I got strength, I should say, and I got the help of the Lord, I will not be in a food stamp program. If I got one sitting here today that is, praise the Lord, that we have programs that could help you. But if you're a sluggard and you got your iPhone 8, and you got food stamp program, you're on your way to hell, thus saith the Lord. And you're a reprobate. You don't need no iPhone 8 if you got to get food stamps. And if you're getting food stamps for you can go buy an iPhone 8, you're a reprobate. Amen. Hey, I like that too. Amen. If Widlow shows up with a flip phone tomorrow, we know what happened. You know, I know I sound strong and ugly sometimes, brethren, but man, I tell you, I'm not a fake person, man. And you know what? I believe in benevolence and programs. You know, and I've had people come to me want me to help them pay their light bills. I've had people help me pay their rent. But I'll tell you what will cut me real quick and my benevolence days will be over, is the only reason I'm paying your light bills because you went and bought a new notepad, a new laptop, and went and paid your gym fee. You know, you spent too much eating all you can eat sushi. Huh? I'll tell you what, before I'm asking you to pay my light bill, I guarantee I won't even be at Taco Bell. You understand what I'm saying? And I think I could eat cheaper Taco Bell than when I cook over at my house, so maybe I ought to go to Taco Bell. Okay, I'm done with that part. Segment three. No, I love y'all. But there's a mindset, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I got all the patience I need. Yeah. I don't want no more tribulation. Amen. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Possess your soul in patience. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. James 1:12. 1 Peter 1:6. Wherein greatly rejoice through now for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. If you would come to this revelation and quit making it the devil messing with you and realize that it's God, then you're going to start submitting to it, the tribulation, to the persecution, to these trials. Okay, you're going to start submitting to them in this way and say, man, praise God. You're molding me. You're shaping me. I'm possessing my soul. But it's the devil. And some of you go to the real wrong place and say it's the wife. It ain't the wife. She's just reflecting you. Maybe there's a real problem. Uh-oh. You didn't say that, preacher. No, I did too. And patience. Now listen to this. Let's go back to verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. I don't see you glorying in it. Also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Okay, we're not done yet. And patience, experience. How many like experience? If I'm going to hire you to go out on a job, and I say, I want you to take care of this job for me, I'm probably going to hire you because you got experience to do that job. Now, some of you have different experiences than others. Some of you I could ask to maybe take on a task as a representative of Christian Temple. And I got enough confidence in you that you could represent the brotherhood and that you've got your soul possessed because of the patience in your life, that you're not going to go make a fool out of this ministry by getting your hind end in the way. Is that wrong talk? For say from the sacred desk. John says it ain't. Sound good to you? I just plain it speech, man. Yeah? Anybody ever got their big hind end in the way? Okay, thank you. So I guess it was a good term. All right. I'm crude in speech, I know. Rude in speech, I should say. That's Bible. And patience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So if we come on down this little trail here, it's given by the Holy Ghost. So can I contribute the Holy Ghost to the experience, to the patience, and to the hope? Yes, I can. Brother Randy said, Brother Al, I know you got the experience. I want you to go do this job for me. You got the experience. How did I get the experience? Huh? Doing it. Works. Doing it. Failure. I don't know if you was ever learning to master something that you didn't fail in the way of mastering it. Huh? Well, I could talk to some of you little children that got down and rose up to play. But you know, you got a new video game, you poor thing. And you got on it. Woo, 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 pew, 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 okay? Oh, man, you died. I'm done with this. No, you got back on it, didn't you? And you kept on doing it until you mastered it, right? I'm not using video games in a positive thing, but what I'm saying, in such a terrible thing is taking your mind and your thoughts and your life. I'll tell you, there's something that cuts me as bad as a healthy person and somebody that's got the money, that they're spending their money on 22-inch wheels and they're letting you buy their food on food stamps. I don't like that. And I don't like a grown man that's going to play video games all night long. Amen. And then he can't make it to work on time the next day. Come on, what a reprobate. I think God would allow me to slap him open-handed across the face just to wake him up. But I wouldn't do that. Amen. Well, I'm popular, ain't I? Tomorrow there's a special on, what do they call these games? I'm back in the Atari days. What do they call it? Atari? You know, what was that little guy? Yeah, Pac-Man. I remember before Pac-Man. I remember the Pong game where it had two paddles and went up and down. The ball went back and forth. Man, we thought that was the coolest thing ever. Amen. That's what we thought. What was that little guy, man? Mario Brothers. Okay, that's the extent of my video games. Amen. That's it. I'm done with it. Okay. I did try it when I got a computer, man. Somebody put this game on that thing, and it had devils in it. And they bite it, and they chewed on your neck. It really did. And I took the computer because I didn't know how to take the program out. I went back to Monroe, Georgia, to the guy I bought the computer from. I said, this thing has got a demon in it, and I want it cast out. I did this. Irene, you was with me, right? Robert was. I did not know how to delete. I just got a computer, and I thought I'd done real good when I pushed the button and the screen lit up. I go, woohoo! I did not know how to get that devil out of it, I promise. I drove 20, 30 miles. I was living out at Bishop. I drove 30 miles or whatever it is down to Monroe, Georgia, and I walked in with this thing. I just bought it from the guy the day before. And I carried it in there, and I said, sir, this ain't got devil in it. He's going like, man, this guy just bought that. Why is he bringing it back? They weren't cheap like they are now. In them days, a computer cost a lot more money. And I wouldn't even use it for a boat anchor now. But he said, all she had to do, and he walks me through, she just had to push this button. It had devil in it, Brother Tam. That thing would come out of that computer and bite you in the back of the neck and make your hair stand up. Nothing in the world can do that to you except devils. And it comes through video games and horror movies. I'm telling you. And see, you don't believe that. You're all laughing. But I'm telling you, you know, there's devils in them things. Okay. So we have tribulation, bringing patience. And patience, experience. Experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us now. So when these things come in your way, these tribulations, persecutions, and all these problems, God's working something in your life to bring hope. Amen? And experience. I hire you to do a job. I want somebody experienced. Some of your experiences came because you failed. A lot of times I go out on a job, man, and say, look, man, don't do this. Some of these guys are learning how to do demo work. Okay, so we take a sledgehammer, we start busting the sheetrock and start busting this out. Experience tells me, hey, dude, before you start busting the sheetrock off on this wall, go round down the hallway and go through the bedroom and find out what's hanging on the other side. Huh? Sometimes nice clocks fall off walls and grandma's heirlooms and pictures and china plates. Amen? Experience. You know where I got that experience? Because I heard the crash on the other side of the wall. And then when I'm talking to you, you say, you're talking to me like I'm dumb. No, I'm talking to you like I got experience. I had to pay for that last one. You see what experience does? So it brings hope. I'm hoping that you're listening to me, for I don't have to pay for something else. Now you say, why are you taking a spiritual revelation and turning something carnal? If you got a spiritual revelation that doesn't benefit you carnally, it isn't of God. Come on, it isn't of God. Does God just want you to puff up? If he did, he would just catch you away and take you home. But he wants you to be able to apply something to perfect people in this side. That's the whole purpose of it. Amen? Amen? If he's already qualified, then why did he send me to qualify? Amen. Amen? So there's a purpose for you being here. There's a purpose and a reason. Okay, so these tribulations and persecutions are bringing hope to the hopeless. How are you conquering it? How are you dealing with it? Are you mad? Are you angry? Do you get upset with God? Why, God? I paid my tithes. Why, God? You know, I went to church last Sunday. Why, God, are you letting this happen to me? Man, you just set up to really get your tail kicked. Man, don't ever question God. I had a guy call me not too many days back, and man, he started questioning God. And I said, dude, don't do that. Because, man, I'm not going to sit and let you do that. Why, Brother Rob? Why would God let this happen to me? I've been trying. I've been serving Him. I've been doing this. I said, shut up. I said, shut your mouth. You're on the wrong trail. Well, you'll end a phone conversation with me and a phone call that fast. You never blame God. Never blame God. If you want to put a blame game on something, go stand and look at the sucker in the mirror. If you want to point the blame at him, then that's fine. Some of you blame the devil. He ain't even been around. Because you ain't no threat to the devil. Because you're stumbling in your own will and your own foolishness all the time. And you're about your own business. You're not about God. But the devil don't need to mess with you. Because you're so carnal-minded, wrapped up in death, you ain't a threat to the kingdom of God at all. But when you're doing something that's under the Lord, then you become a threat to the kingdom. You start winning souls. The devil's going to say, wait a minute, there's my enemy. And he's going to start sending people to you. And he's going to start poking you and pressing you. He's going to send little blonde-headed girls over with their little reprobate boyfriends. And they're going to talk all bad to you on the phone for you could get your big hind in the way. Oh, did y'all feel that one? Oh, man, that was not even a good sword. But you know what? Yeah, I identified a man in that very thing I said, but I'm talking to you. You see, we thinking that, you know, this is the devil. I'm thinking I'm justified to get upset. I'm justified to get mad. And, you know, this, they're violating me. They're wrong. No, they're not doing it. God's doing it. God is trying to perfect you. Huh? He's trying to teach you, trying to lead you, trying to direct you, trying to mold you, trying to make you, for you can possess your soul. Amen? Through patience. Come on. Amen? I think I'm going to have to go listen to this again. Help me, Jesus. What are you laughing about? No. You love the Lord? Amen. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which giveth unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why, I was still yet a sinner. Amen? Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, we have a way of reading this Bible in history. I say this often, but I got to always go there, because when we're reading the Bible, many times you're reading about the victory in Christ, and we should, but we need to remember that we got to bring it into a present day truth. What was the ministry of the revelation of Jesus Christ at little Bethlehem? The ministry of the present day truth. The ministry of the present day truth. You know, and I thought, okay, it's okay to have a present day truth. And I'm not saying that we've come a step above, because we are part of the present day truth. But we've said this, that this is a ministry of the present day application. A truth is a wonderful thing to know, but if it isn't applied, it does you nothing. The truth will set you free. Yes. How does the truth set you free? Through application of the truth. Amen? So you think, well, you, what are you thinking? You're better than Brother Pike? Absolutely not. Man, I can't even think that I could even begin to get into the depths and the realms that that man was in. I know that. And you know why I'll never be in the depths and the realms of these? You say, Brother Rob, it's a poor profession. No, it's a profession with experience. It's a profession with understanding and a profession with revelation. You're puffed up in your mind and think that you'll surpass him. But I see it ain't in your nature because you ain't cut out for it. You don't have enough sacrifice in your life now and enough submission in your life now, and you're too overconfident in your own self now that you will never get even to the realms that that brother was at. And that's why I've got enough understanding not to profess or confess weakness. I could profess in Christ I can do all things, but I know that if I speak something by faith, that I know there's got to be an endurance and an application in that. Amen? And I don't know if Brother Rob's willing to fight that kind of fight. Amen? And you say, well, that's a bad profession. Well, fine, it is. I agree with you 100%. But I could live in a make-believe world, and I could speak things that I'm not there yet. My Bible says for me to wait on teaching to teach, wait on preaching to preach, and I'm not going to preach outside the measure that he put me in. You preach outside your measure, and it causes you stumbling. It causes you staggering, and it causes complications in your life because you're trying to go beyond something that you are to present something that you ain't. Amen? I ain't anything. That's the difference in my revelation and your revelation, because I know that I'm the least of all, and I like that place. Amen? Because when you're the least, there's no expectation. Amen? But all expectations in him. Amen? That's a revelation that some need to come to, brother. Amen? And you say, why do you keep comparing it to yourself? Because I'm dead. That's a good way, right? I must die. Without the death of the testator, the testament has no effect. If I'm like the man was in the prison this morning, the consequences that he was still alive when he cussed the man, the consequences was there's no strength in the testament. But if the man was dead, then there would be strength in the testament. You see, you read that scripture, you go back to Jesus Christ, that the testament had no strength until he died. Yes, but the strength came in the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I'm the product of what Jesus done. I am the reason that Jesus' fruits remain. You understand that? If I'm not doing what I'm doing, then Jesus' work was in vain. I'm not talking about me doing this in my testimony or in my strength. I'm talking about doing it in his testimony, in his strength. And as I brought it out the other day, it's his prayer. He said, I pray for them. He said, I pray for these here, but I'm praying for them that have not yet heard yet and have not seen yet. I was that person. Amen. You're that person. We got to come to that revelation and understand that. Amen. So now I have a heart to win souls, but I let this adversary get in my face and poke me and press me in my spirit. Let me tell you, I know my weaknesses. And there's times that I've got to stay away from things. The Bible said if you perceive there's no understanding, man, depart from that man. You know why Brother Rob departs from him? Because Brother Rob might get in the flesh. Huh? You say, are you that weak, Brother Rob? No, I'm smart enough to know my weakness. And I'm smart enough to know that all men's hearts are fashioned alike. And if I know that I don't have the strength, then I don't need to mess with it. That's why the Bible said, let ye that are spiritual go to the one overtaken in a fall. I don't need to go to that one overtaken in a fall if I'm going to sit and let him puke on me and get me walking with him. Well, I'm going to go get this guy and get him back into Christian Temple Church. And you go out there to get him, and all of a sudden he's converted you, and you're ready to leave the church. You wasn't spiritual. You should have never let those things come out. Yeah, but I'm a minister, bless God, and I had to let him say those things for I know how to deal with them. No, you were just floating in the puke with him, lapping it up. I'm telling you, I know how to win souls, brother. I had a man start wanting to run Brother George down to me. I said, you can stop right now. Oh, but you know, Brother Rob, you could have let him go for you know where he's at. I knew where he was at. I didn't need to let him speak. I know where he's at because he's departed to prove that he was never of us. So I knew where he's at. I don't need to let him puke on me to know where they're at. Okay, I'm a physician, so I got to let this person come in and puke in my face and breathe on me and cough on me. I know the sucker's got AIDS, so I got to let him drip blood all over me and bite me for I know he's got AIDS. Absolutely not. I know he's got AIDS, and I'm going to deal with him like an AIDS-infected pervert. Amen? I'm going to have gloves on and a mask. Man, I'm going to give him an injection. Huh? Say, I hope it makes you feel better, dude. Sure dying. You say, Brother Rob, you're crude. I know. Amen. Those are consequences because he was a stinking pervert. Yeah, but Brother Rob, there's some really good innocent people that get it. Yes, there's a lot of innocent people that die because of sick perverts. The sick perverts that flew them airplanes into the towers. There was innocent people that died there. Yeah, we're living in that kind of a world. I'm not mocking little children and babies with AIDS. I'm mocking the perverts that are out there in homosexual lifestyle, and they're told by the doctors, hey, it's one of the biggest spreaders of the disease. You know what? So they get it. Do I feel sorry for them? No, I'm laughing at their calamity with the Lord. Amen? Because they're perverts. Well, Brother Rob, why don't you go try to win them into the Lord? I do every day. I preach at them and let them know you're on your way to hell, and I love you and I'll help you. But you can't be a fag and be a Christian too. Come on now. You know, because you're so polished. Oh, but you got to love them just the way they are. No, I don't. You can love them the way they are. You could hug them the way they are. I ain't gonna. I'm not trying to be an orator popular. I'm just going to try to wake you up. You know, sometimes people have an expectation to be polished like they are. But I don't know. I'm probably never going to be that guy. I need to use wisdom. I know, brethren. I'm sorry. I do. I need to use a little wisdom. Not to offend everybody. I don't mind offending most, but I don't want to offend everybody. Amen. Say you're better off put a millstone. I'm not putting no millstone around my neck because I offend a queer. That's a little one, brother. A little child of God that ain't got enough maturity yet in the gospel of Jesus. And he's a little one. I offend him because I'm so puffed up. And the guy comes to me with his ABCs in the spiritual dimension. You know, something simple. I knew that a long time ago. You ain't worth nothing. You offended a little one, and you better off put a millstone around your neck. That's what that Bible's talking about. It ain't talking about offending the homosexuals and the drunks and the whores and the harlots. They need somebody in their face. Amen. Jesus didn't butter it up with the woman of Samaritan woman there. He said, you got five husbands, huh? You know, oh, well, I think, ma'am, that you might have had a relationship. No, he didn't do that. He said, you had five husbands, huh? Didn't he say that to her? He said, this man must be a prophet. Amen. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and we're closing, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God by the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus, hath abound unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, but much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You know, people sometimes, they don't understand what we just read here, and they'll say, well, why did the Lord allow the devil? Why did he create him if he created all things? Why? Because like I said, you know what he could do with Brother Lambert? He could take him and set him over there by the cherubims up in the glory. And Brother Jonathan could stand there 24/7 with his hands raised up and God give him the strength to do it. And he said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. That's a wonderful thing, yes. But you know what he wants with Brother John? He just wants to fellowship him. He wants somebody to love him for who he is. Now the thing is you have a sovereignty. In what we're reading here, We could come down, you have a sovereignty. We could talk about the sovereign grace of the Lord, yes. But you have a sovereignty to submit to the grace of God and the mind of God, or you have a sovereignty to submit to the will of the devil and the will of your own flesh. So if you do that, you've chosen who your master is. You've chosen this day and whom you serve. You've given your members over to what you will be through all of eternity. You see, you choose. You're making the decision. You say, but he chose me before the world ever was. He sure did. He chose you before the world ever was and died for you. Amen? But you have got to take and bring an application of that by faith, through hope, through patience, through experience. Amen? So, you know, I speak to people daily. I'm testifying, preaching, teaching, leading, directing, guiding. Yeah, I might get in a somewhat of a idle maybe or lighthearted conversation came, but usually I'm trying to get the gospel point to somebody. I teach people how to be men. I teach people how to hold jobs. I teach people how to work. And some say, well, you know, that's not spiritual. Sure it is. Because you're worse than an infidel if you don't support your own household. So if you're not supporting your home, then you've violated the kingdom of God and God's principles, and it's the preacher's problem. And I'll stand before the Lord. If you are in this church and you are so sorry that you can't keep a job, then it becomes my problem. Until you don't receive the admonishing and you don't receive it and you reject it and you reject it and you reject it, then I'll be free. But I owe it to you. Do you realize that if you stink and you're offensive to people, it becomes a pastor's problem? You don't think so. You think the pastor's just supposed to come to church and say, I've got a Sunday school lesson for you today. I think that's the way they do it. Super glue them suckers up. I'm not going to watch him, for I don't have to do that. You know, everybody thought that it was the Holy Ghost blowing them people down with Benny Hinn. It was Tammy Faye standing next to him fanning them big fans. It was blowing them over. Is that her name, Tammy Faye? What's that other one? You say, Brother Rob, you're going to get in trouble with the Lord. I'm mocking the devil. I ain't mocking God. Let me tell you something. If you think that Jan Crouch had the Holy Ghost, you're some kind of blind and ignorant. Oh, but she was a fine woman, done a lot. She led more people into hell than the Pope. I tell you what, God was just nice enough to paint her up like a stinking streetwalking Jezebel, for smart people wouldn't follow after her. And only ignorant people would follow. Who's going to follow a Jezebel and call her a child of God? Come on now. It's pretty obvious, ain't it? But I mean, I just call it the way it is. Amen? And good thing about the internet, they could turn me off when they want to. You can't. I love the Lord. Sitting at the table with Brother Whitlow Sunday, and he gets a text from a guy. And I'm sitting right across, and he puts the text over my face. Guy said, hey, I talked to Brother Rob, and he said, that you ain't even a Christian, and that you're none but a thorn in his flesh. And I thought, well, at least the guy's talking the truth. No. I love Brother John. But you know what? The guy said he talked to me. Now, what kind of guy is going to send a brother a text like that? I saw the man when I was down at camp meeting in Georgia. He walked by me, and he said, man, I got to go find me a place to sit. And that's good. I'm glad he did, because I didn't want to talk to him. But he calls this brother up and said he talked to me, and I never spoke one word to the man. I might have said hi when he walked by, or hey, or whatever. But what kind of man would do that? Somebody help me here. A devil. A reprobate, yeah. We got all kinds of adjectives for them kind of guys. You know, but come on, man. What kind of ignorance is that? Find himself dragged down the highway, bubbling in his own blood from his stupidity and ignorance. I wouldn't rejoice about it, brother. I mean that. I would not rejoice on his day of calamity. The Lord will. Amen. Verse 20, we're going to close. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, we got to read a chapter of the Word to you tonight, and I hope it helps you. I did say some things that I trust will help you. Brethren, if you want to walk in the measure of a soul winner, either when souls are wise, the wisdom that you're going to get to be a soul winner, you're going to subject and submit yourself. You may think I'm crude. You may think I'm rude. You may think I insult people. Amen. And I'm going to continue to do that for you that are thinking I'm going to make changes. And I'm going to do it willingly because we're living in a snowflake society. And I'm trying to toughen you up a little bit. For you could take the endurance because you want me to be so polished that you're going to be just like the rest of the snowflakes out there. And if somebody says something, you're going to spew and puke and you're never going to be able to win them people. You got to know how to take and wipe the spittle out of your face and still smile. If your husband is called into the ministry, you're going to have to learn to watch him get spit upon, and you're going to look at the one spitting in your husband's face, and you're going to smile with your husband. Sometimes a woman could discount a man from fulfilling his calling because he has married her and they become one. And she is reflecting his ministry. And if she cannot walk with him, then he cannot fulfill his calling. You understand that? If your wife is so harsh and hard and hateful that you can't love the unlovable, then you're disqualified. You understand what I'm saying? And you said, but Brother Rob, you said the Lord qualified me. He did. He qualified you that you could sit in the grace of God and allow the minister to qualify you. He perfected you into such a place that he's going to send a minister to sit in your face to perfect you, to bring it to fruition, to a revelation, to an evidence, to a present day truth, to a manifestation. You see, as the man asked me, he said, did God hear my repentance? Sure he did. But that doesn't change the consequences. It doesn't change the term of time. Brother Pike said like this, a man pull a gun out and take another man's life. He falls on his face before God and he repents. God could grant repentance to that man. But the law of this dimension says, hey, you're a murderer. And the murderer has got consequences for being a murderer. And the judge says you're going to do life in prison. Oh, but didn't God hear my repentance? Sure, he heard your repentance. But he's allowing you to pay on this side. Amen, that you won't have to pay on the other side. We've got this funny idea that we think that when we really cry out and our petition is heard in the ears of God and he grants the petition to us, that he removes the offense. He can. Brethren, I've known of God taking people that had life sentences and free them, and they walk out of prisons. There's so many testimonies of things of such. He can do those things, but it's all dependent upon the individual. Sometimes I could see a man has absolutely applied himself in such a way that he's got God's attention. Listen to me. And he's been for 3 weeks, 3 months, maybe 3 years, that he's really walking in a place that he's got God's attention. But then yet he gets shipwrecked in his faith for a moment. And the Bible says when you turn and do evil, what does it say? That all of your goodness is forgotten. So then we cleared the slate again. You say, I don't like that. Well, you like it when you've been evil and evil and evil and evil for 3 years, and then you turn and repent and cry out to God that he clears the slate of the evil, even though there's still consequences. You see, you got to hear something. Some of you could remember, you've heard me preach the 11th hour worker. I had a preacher was going to come preach the 11th hour worker in our church. And I said, well, these people probably believe it different than you do. They believe it different. I believe it different than the church teaches it. Here's the way the church world teaches it. Brother Atlee was a man that we all know, Andy's grandfather. He was diligent from a young man. He worked with a pastor. He worked with preachers, man. He gave his substance. He gave his skill. He gave his ability. And he lived in a little broken down mobile home when he could have been like his family members in the Amish community that were millionaires. One of them built a big truss manufacturing plant. Another one done this, and he had the same opportunities they had. And he could have built his big business, big career, built him a big, nice home. But he chose, brother, to live in a little single-wide mobile home and raise a bunch of boys, I think five boys, in a little shack. And sowing into the kingdom, and sowing into the kingdom, and sowing into the kingdom, and sowing into the kingdom. Amen? Okay, so he makes it into the kingdom of God. Now here's the way the church world teaches about the 11th hour worker. An old stinking snort over here. Oh, whiskey snort. You know, old sister leather lungs with her double split tongue. Huh? An old crude dude, this one. And all them, boy, they get up and they're 75 years old. Oh, God, have mercy on me. And they cry and they repent. And God saves them because they came up to Brother Billy Graham at 75. And he said, well, say this prayer with me. And they say, oh, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And they listen to that. And now they're as much as a Christian and saved as much as Brother Atlee and got the same reward. How stinking ignorant are you? And you say, Brother Rob, you better be careful because you're going to take the mercies and the grace of God. The same reward that they got that Brother Atlee had is eternal life. That's the same reward that they got. But they don't have no treasure stored up in heaven. They made it in with all their works burned up. But you see, the church teaches it this way. That you're going to be sitting at the same table with a great man of God. I'm sorry, it ain't that way. Don't you know that the pattern of the heavens is by what we see in this world? How many of you have access to President Trump right now? Just go up and knock on the White House door. Hey, I'm here to see him. Who are you? Oh, I'm some jerk lives over here and sits under a wild preacher. He ain't gonna let you in, dude. I know Rob Coons. Oh, yeah, who's he? It ain't gonna work that way. Yes, God, you could pray and God will get you an audience with him. Yes, I understand that. But I'm telling you, it's a pattern to the kingdom. It's a pattern, brethren. Do you realize that? There's going to be people that are nothing but servants there. That's me. I love to serve. I want to do it through all of eternity. Oh, but I think we're all going to have the same reward and we're all just going to kick back and this and that. See, people don't like this kind of doctrine, but it's accurate, brethren. Because the Bible says we store up treasures in heaven. You've heard me say this. People make this statement. They say, well, you know, I just want to make it in. I say, you're a liar. You ain't going to make it because you're lying when you say, I just want to make it in. When a man says, I just want to make it in, that man is a liar, brethren. Because that would be like just saying, well, I just want to live in this world. I just want to breathe the air. You're lying. You want a faster car? Well, you know, you want another ring. Nose ring, nipple ring, lip ring. Come on now, I'm just talking about people. Want a bigger house, want plusher carpet, more padding, softer seats in the car. Huh? See, we want more. Why? Because it's something put in us. And if this is in the natural world that we desire natural things, if that's a pattern, we should be desiring spiritual things. We should be pressing to put treasures in heaven. And we should want greater treasures in heaven. The Bible said, make yourself faithful over the little things here. He'll make you a leader over greater things there. But if you can't submit here, you can't follow here, you'll be nothing there. See, that's what people don't realize, is they are the one that's creating their eternity. They're the one that is creating. God took 6 days to create this, and he rested the seventh. And you've been 6,000 years creating what you call heaven. Sorry, but you need to look at it differently. You know, you invest and you invest in this world, and you invest and you put away, I'm putting away for retirement, I'm putting away for retirement. I'm going to tell you this, thus saith the Lord, you that are saving and putting money away for your retirement will never see it. Thus saith the Lord, you will never see it. You will never see it. I said, thus saith the Lord. This isn't me speaking. It's God speaking. You put your money away for your retirement, for you can have easy retirement. God will never allow you to enjoy it. I just prophesied that to you. So you better take heed to what you just heard. That was a prophetic utterance from God. And some of you don't like it. But I'm not here to make you happy. I'm just telling you what the Lord says. Amen? Amen? Amen. I don't want anything on this side. I don't want to leave anything for people to fight over and brothers and sisters to hate. Amen? I don't want equity. I don't want anything in this world. I want my equity in heaven. And I found out how to get equity in heaven. It's by giving everything that I can away on this side and have nothing here and put it all up there. Amen. And I keep putting it up there and it runs over and I'm living in a house that isn't mine. I'm preaching in a church that isn't mine. And I'm standing before a brotherhood that isn't mine. It's the Lord's. Everything I have is His. Amen. And I'm a servant to it. I'm going to be a servant and I'm going to endure to the end as far as God will allow me to go. Amen. And I'm going to press. I'm going to push. Amen. So you're saying, Brother Rob, that I'm wrong to make preparations for retirement? I'm wrong to do that? No, I did not say that you was wrong. I just said you'd never get to enjoy it. Amen? How many people do you know that labored and put things away for their retirement and they died? You know how many good deals are on motorhomes out there being sold by widows that her and her husband was going to enjoy to travel around and see the United States and do stuff, but she's selling it because she don't know how to drive it? Right up here in Greensboro when I was looking for one? But you know how many deals are like that? Just start looking around. Huh? They don't get to enjoy. You ain't got nothing to look forward in this world. Amen. Say, once you change your profession, say, you know what? I am going to work as long as I got strength. Amen. For what the Bible said that I could labor to have to give and sow into the kingdom of God. Amen. What are you going to do if you retire? Frolic? Well, I'm going to go to the beach. What, with the rest of the whores and stripped off bunch of perverts? Well, I'm going to go to the mountains. What, with who? Stinking Wolfman Jack? What's that other guy's name? Grizzly Adams? Yeah. Well, there's a reason he's up there in the wilderness, man. He's in a wilderness. He needs to be up there in the mountains with the wolves. Amen? You say, oh, Brother Rob, you like to do those things? Sure I do. Me and Jesus like to go over and kick back over at the Sea of Galilee once in a while. Huh? Fellowship a little bit. Might meet him over in Gethsemane there a minute. Sweat a little blood. Come on, man. Woo, yeah. All right, let's stand together. Y'all love the Lord? I hope I said something to help you. If I made you angry, praise the Lord. God was angry, but he sinned not. But when you anger against me, it's showing something in your spirit. And you'll number it to you're more righteous than me. And you think you're more spiritual than me. And you'll fight me in the spirit. And you know what God keeps doing to me? When there's times I'm thinking, Lord, I know I got to do better than this because this isn't right. But he's the one that'll have me do it. And people don't understand that, Brother Tam. Because he's dealing with demons. And he is persecuting you through tribulation because you're polished in your ethics and your thoughts. And Lord is saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to bless this crude talking preacher. And this rude man, because he's submitted to me, he's following me, and he's listening to me, and he's obedient to me. And you think that you're going to make it into the kingdom because you're polished in the scriptures and the word, and you're a theologian, and you know more than I do about the scriptures and the word, and you think that that qualifies you. But you're disqualified for fighting with the preacher and thinking that way. You say, why are you talking like this, Brother Rowe? Because I'm called to preach the gospel. And we got to get these things out of our heart, Brother John. Because they will hinder us. Hey, I like that shirt. I used to have one just like it. It looks better on you. I love Brother John. You know what, when he got that text? What if I did say that about him? I would have said it to his face. But John's not a thorn in my flesh. Sometimes, but most of the time, no. He's really not. John loves me, I can tell you that. John makes mistakes. John stumbles around sometimes, but that man loves me. He really does. And he wouldn't do anything to hurt me. You know what? That goes a long ways with a true, genuine friend. It goes a long ways. He said, well, he might reproach you with his foolishness. He may. But you know what? He loves me. You know what that means? He's passed from death unto life. Amen? And some struggle loving me. And that means that maybe they didn't pass from death unto life. I'm not really that hard of a guy to love. But if you're polished, I'm a hard guy to love. So God has making me the way I am to help you get unpolished. Because it's not the outward polishment, it's the inward adorning. And the inward adorning loves me. The outward polish can't stand me, brethren. Figure out what that means. Amen. It works. Amen. Remember, the guy that don't know nothing about the gospel, he doesn't know anything about the scripture. He said, hey, open up to the book of this. He don't know if it's New Testament, Old Testament. But something pricked his heart. He confessed his sins. He repented. And he fell on his face before a living God. And he said, brother, I don't know you, but you got something I want. And you lay hands on him, and God fills him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that man is in the kingdom of God, sealed in and hid away through all of eternity. And it wasn't by anything that he knew, except he submitted to a heart condition. Amen. And he said, man, I want this. Amen. I seen a man that was considered a biker, long hair, Mexican, mustache, goatee. And he's seen a few of us brethren sitting in a restaurant enjoying ourselves, talking about the things of God. I went over and started talking to him, shook his hand. And he goes, you know, brother, he didn't call him, but he said, you know what? I've given my whole life to the devil. My whole life to partying and being a whoremonger. He goes, I want what you guys got. He said, there's something about you guys that I need and I want. And I took him to the local pastor, and they looked at him, and he didn't fit their criteria. And they wouldn't even speak to him. Well, they did. They said, hey, nice to meet you, this and that. And they went right back to visiting. Broke my heart, brother, because I was leaving that place right then. I was departing and leaving, getting in my car, coming back to North Carolina. And I seen a man crying out. And I regret that I did not stay in town and bring him with me. And you say, are you smiting these men of God? Brethren, I'm telling you, the one was full of the devil and the other one didn't know where he was at. And that's why he was in the wilderness at a place he was at. And that's why he named it a tabernacle after the one in the wilderness, because he was in a wilderness that had to fit that revelation, brother. Amen. It had to be exactly that way. And then the name of the place was changed when the man got a glimpse of the revelation of what's going on and what's happening. The home of the soul was in Georgia. This is Christian Temple in North Carolina. Carolinas has to do with the heavens. That had to do with the fight, the travail, and the warfare. That's why that dimension had to be done away with. And that's why you say, now you're bringing it to you. Absolutely nothing to do with me. This is why Brother Rob can't bring out revelation, because spirits fight me, Brother Tab. And they think, oh, it's all about you, ain't it, Brother Rob? You think you... No, it ain't about me. The revelation of Jesus Christ is about him. I just happen to be his servant. Amen. And he happens to live and dwell in me. And I'd love to share with you exactly what this ministry has to do with, exactly the part that I play in it. But you can't handle that, because it doesn't apply to you and put you up where you think you should be. And it doesn't put me up where I think I should be. Because I know where I'm at. Amen. I'm already there. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not wrestling through some kind of prestige, some kind of theology, some kind of revelation, some kind of talk to make me feel like I'm part of something. I don't need that. I know who I am. I know who I am, brethren. I know where I'm at. I know where I dwell. I know where I live. I'm not looking for salvation. I'm not here for that. I'm here to bring salvation. I'm here to give salvation. You understand that? And the thing is the only thing that's in the way sometimes is you and your theology. That's it. I'm telling you. Theology, you know, I understand what the word means, brethren. But the theology has been taken to the letter of the law, and it's killing, John. It's destroying. People are killing each other with Brother Pike and Brother Branham quotes. They're killing each other with the quotes of the Word of God. Brother, the quotes don't save us, it's the Spirit.
Yes.
The Bible said without His quotes, you know, we're not going to make no sense. Without His Spirit.
Yes.
And memorizing His Word does not make us have His Spirit.
Amen.
Brother Chuck calls it parroting, like a parrot.
Polly, want a cracker? Polly, want a cracker?
Well, he knows English. Ask him to spell it to you. He don't know English. He mimicked something. He heard it. He mimicked it. It didn't make him an English professor because he says,
Polly, want a cracker?
No, he's not an English professor. You know what? You can go over and rehearse over and over and over and over and over to him. Dios te bendiga. No, he's not a Mexican. He just knows how to say God bless you in Spanish. Does he speak Spanish? Does he understand Spanish? No. You can go over and do that and they'll mimic it. You see, that's hypocrisy. They're an actor, Brother John. Hypocrisy. Dad started flying some of these actors around. The guy that played Baba Black Sheep, I think, it was a movie. Was that an airplane movie? Is that the name of it, Baba Black? What was his name, Robert Conrad? Yeah. You know, and he was a tough guy in that. He was a tough guy in the Wild Wild West. My dad goes and picks him up and flies him to a place. He said, man, that sucker's a little stinking sissy. But he's a tough guy in the movies. Brother George said about Ronald Reagan when he got shot in the gut. He was an actor. He knew how to play things. He said, all of a sudden, presidency wasn't an act no more and playing games. He said, dude, this is real. This hurts. And he said, that made a president out of him. It made a president out of him. And sometimes we're acting the part of Christianity, and it's an act. Well, this is what we do. Man, we're Christians, praise God. This is what we do. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. You know what? You're an actor. You know, if I'm going to lift up my hands, sometimes I'll say, brethren, let's lift up our hands and praise God. And you should be obedient to that. But somewhere there should be a spirit in you before the preacher says it that just says, man, I want to praise God and magnify His name. Amen. It's not an act, Brother Randy. It is something that I want to wave the glory back to Jesus. Amen. And I want to be thankful and I love Him. Amen. So let's make sure we don't have some polished ethics and that we have a true, genuine love for the truth. Amen. Amen. All right, let's sing a song and we'll close.
I can face tomorrow.
Thank you, Lord.
Because
He lives.
All fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives.
What is that? Did that just happen? Oh, is it? Has he taken any medicines or anything? No, I'm talking about the causes to problem. He hasn't been on no medications or nothing. Has he eaten anything different that he's... Hey, Will, man. How you doing? Hey, little brother. What's happening, little man? Huh? You want to come up here to Brother Rob? Let's pray for this little fella. He's got him a rash. Broke out. Hey, little man, can we pray with you? You want to check everybody out? Yeah, all these folks are praying for you, little brother. Hey, look at Pops. Is that okay? Let me get some oil. Let's pray, brother. Most gracious Father, Lord God, I'm thankful that we have a God that we could call upon. And Lord God, whatever this is, Father, we know, Lord God, that you could take this out of this little brother's bloodstream. In the name of my Lord and Jesus. Father, I ask you, Father, to bless this, my little brother. Father, let this thing clear up, Lord God, whatever it may be. In Jesus' name. Hey. Don't seem to be bothering him too bad.
Fear is gone.
I love you. I'm going to give you back to mom. Pretty content, ain't he? It's on his back, too. Because he lives. You know, brethren, sometimes it can sound like strong exhortations. And you say, Brother Rob, you're wearing me out. That's where you're wrong. I would never wear you out. I would never hurt you, offend you, or insult you. You are standing, taking the wrath and the fire to something that is not you. You see, the fire purges the dross out. You're not the dross. You're the pure gold. But the fire's got to come to get the dross and to get it out. You see, we can't bypass the fire. When the potter puts the clay on the wheel, he could mold a beautiful thing. But it won't remain beautiful. And it won't be something that's lasting or eternal until it goes into the fire. And when it goes into the fire, then it's made into something that's a beautiful. And you'll never be beautiful without going through the fire, the purging fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen? You have to come to a revelation. If you feel like God's dealing with you, then you say, thank you, Lord, for exposing this thing that is standing between you and I, that we can get it out of the way. Amen? Then God could help you. And then you don't resent chastisement. Then you receive it willingly and gladly. And if you're struggling with reproof, correction, exhortation, then you got a real problem. You need to go and just look up the word chastisement and chastening. And look it up and go read about it. And when you reject it, what it says about you. And you don't want to be that person, I know. Amen? You see, when a woman won't receive correction from her husband, or a man won't receive correction from his pastor, and a pastor won't receive correction from his God, we got some terrible problems there. That's the order of God. And we got to submit to the order of God. Amen? I've told this to women so many times. When your husband is making a mistake, and you're going to say, because you're more spiritual than him, you're going to take the reins at that point, you're making a terrible mistake. You're never made to take the reins. What you do is you cry out to your God, and don't try to do his job, because God could do something for that sister that the sister will never be able to do. When a sister tries to change her husband, John, God, thus saith the Lord. Now listen to me, I'm prophesying again. Listen, ladies. I'm prophesying. When a woman tries to change a man, God is going to harden that man's heart. Yes, God is going to do it. God is going to do it. God is going to harden that man's heart that he will never submit to that woman. If he does, then the man's a devil. If he's following God, he will never do it. Now listen, I submit to my wife. You say, you're a devil then, what you just said. No, you're not hearing me. There is a love, submission and love. But there's another submission that you're submitting to a forward woman. A forward woman is not of God, Brother Ed. God hates a forward woman. He doesn't like it. Read his scriptures and read his word. When a woman is usurping authority over men in some forward way, which they have women bosses and all these things nowadays, had two men just thrown out of a faith dorm under a woman, because a woman chaplain in there. And the brother made a statement. He said, look, he goes, I respect you. You're my elder and a leader here. and I respect that. But he said, I will not and I cannot submit to you as an authority over me. He said, it's against my faith and my doctrine. They removed him out of the faith program and put him in a bad side of the prison. See, that's wrong. That man has the right to express faith just like the Buddhist does. But he was reprimanded because he would not submit to a woman pastor. You see, that's a gross violation, Brother John. But when a man is wrong and he is lording over the heritage of his wife with some brutality because he's the man, shut your face, woman, I'm the head of this house, and runs her like that, that man's going to get his fields burned, brother. You see, people will listen to a message like this and then they puff themselves up. I'm not trying to puff some man up and make him better than the woman. That ain't what I'm doing. I'm laying my life down for my wife and these sisters. That's the love that you need to have in your heart. But there's still an order in that. And if a man is doing wrong to the woman, if she submits to the wrong and cries out to God, God will fix that man in a moment if she'll submit to God. But God, many times the man is doing what he's doing because God hardened his heart because the woman's out of order, brother, with the Lord. And God hardens his heart. I got Bible for what I'm teaching here right now. God will harden that man's heart because it's a perversion for that man to go any other way. You understand that? Let God be God. Let men be men. Let women be women. And it's a beautiful order and tranquility and peace in it. Amen? If I got an attitude, hey, this is my church, I'm going to run this church, God will kill me, Brother John. This is not my church. He's the head of this church. He is my Lord. He's my God. And because I submit to his headship, then he uses me as headship. And if you submit to this headship, he'll use you as headship and put you in order. But if you can't submit to the order of God, and I can't submit to the order of God, then you can't submit to me. Your wife won't be able to submit to you. Amen? If the woman will submit if the man's of God, and if she won't, then she's got a devil and needs the devil cast out of her. Amen? But if the man ain't taking his rightful place and walking in the flesh, she can't submit to that. Now, if a woman justifies not submitting to her husband because she's more spiritual than him, it shows that she's not spiritual at all. Because if she would love him and submit to him by her chaste conversation, my Bible says that he'll win him. So she cannot win him by supping authority over him. She can't win him by pumping spiritual revelation down his throat and being more spiritual. That's not what it said. By her chaste conversation. Honey, I love you. What do you want for breakfast? Honey, I love you. Let me take care of you. Honey, I'm going to do this for you. But they don't feel like they're going to meet your needs because you ain't right. That's a devil. Thus saith the Lord. Every single time it's a devil. Are y'all listening to me? I'm teaching you doctrine. This is what I'm called to do. I want to see your marriage successful. He don't have a wife now because he was ignorant and foolish. I'm sorry. I love John. He's repented for that. God could restore that. God could add him a wife. Yes. But he has been a single man for years because of his ignorance. Those are consequences. I preached on consequences tonight. There's consequences of a single man because of his foolishness. He didn't submit to God. When he first came here, he didn't submit to me. He was more spiritual than me. He had more revelation than me. He knew Brother Pike's message better than me. But then yet he was a drunk and a dope and a whoremonger. How can he say he's got more revelation? You understand that? Revelation ain't what you know or what you heard. Revelation is vindication of revealing Christ in you, the hope of glory. Showing a will to love people that hate you. Showing a willingness to do good to them that despitefully use you. That's revelation. But you want to make it into some theology and some intellectual thing. Revelation is bringing Christ into the earth and getting nails driven in his hands saying, hey, I love you. Amen? That's revelation. You know, but we don't want that kind of revelation. We don't want a revelation with works and fruit and action. We want a revelation of some kind of head knowledge for we could study it in a book and sit around and impress one another. That's foolishness. I've seen it destroy a very large work of God with men that sat under doctrine that you ain't never heard, nor never seen, nor never will. And I've seen every one of them fall away, Brother John. I've seen a whole great, powerful work of God go to naught to nothing. And the man said, I could count you on one hand. And there were several hundred in there. I could count you on one hand, so what are we going to do with this group? Come on, brethren. We got to get a wake-up call, amen. All right, let's sing a song. We'll close. Amen. I expect that little boy to clear up. Amen. Promptly.
Amen.
Amen. Promptly. Amen. I have an expectation. Dad, are you raising your hand? You want prayer? I'll get you on the floor and adjust you.
Needed someone wash my sins away.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray for him, brethren. Most gracious Father, oh, how I know, Father, the pain of ruptured disc, Lord God, and backache. But Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord God, for tribulation. I praise you, Lord God, for pain. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that you have authority over pain and suffering. And Lord God, as I lay hands on this, my brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right now, Father God, I speak to this bulging disc. I speak to this pinched nerve. I speak, Lord God, to this vertebrae, whatever it may be, Lord God, if displaced or out of place, whatever. And I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say, heal him, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, let this pain depart from this, my brother, Lord God. And let that thing align up, Lord God, and come into proper alignment, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord God. I rebuke unbelief right now in the name of Jesus. And I say, receive the word of faith. Receive healing right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that this brother shall walk upright and straight and pain-free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel better. Hallelujah. It's amazing grace. Hallelujah. It's amazing grace. It's amazing grace. Amen. Amen. You still the prettiest girl in North Carolina? I thought so. Amen. Say again. Yes. Let's pray for Daddy. Amen. You know what? I love your daddy. Huh? I hope he doesn't start smoking. How about if we hope he stops smoking? I'd rather pray that he stops. Huh? Yeah. Well, sometimes smoking isn't the problem. It's just a manifestation of something down deeper. Let's pray that he starts walking with the Lord in the Spirit. Okay? Can we pray that way? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the cry of a little daughter that loves her daddy. Father, I love her daddy too, Lord God. And Father, my heart goes to him, Lord God. And I ask you, Lord, to wake up her daddy out of the stupor, out of the slumber that he's in. Out of the darkness, out of the blindness. Father God, I pray and ask you, Lord God, to truly set that little brother free, Lord God. Father, as Satan is doing everything he can to destroy and to kill her daddy, Father, we stand in the gap together, united together, asking you, Lord God, to save his soul, Lord. Father, help him. Strengthen him, Lord. Father, he knows the word. He knows doctrine, but Lord God, he doesn't know your spirit of freedom. He doesn't know your spirit of peace. And Father, we want you to take him into a greater place, Lord God, that he could really find a true, genuine peace, that he's no longer struggling and wrestling in the bitterness and the hate and all of the things that are destroying him. Father, hear this little sister's prayer and answer, Lord God, by faith. Father, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. I love you. Thank you. I love you. Amen. There's always hope. always hope. You say, well, Brother Rob, I've heard you preach that man could go too far. And I say, yeah, he can. Yep, Lord can cut a man off on this side, and he can be numbered with the twice dead. I do understand that. But I tell you what, just as a daddy, a grandfather can't turn away a pretty little baby that has a hope and a desire. And you know what? I thank my Heavenly Father is moved by the prayer of a little child. Amen. Amen. And I think he could give hope to the hopeless.
Yes.
And he can give sight to the blind.
Yes.
And he can give strength to the weak. Amen. There's always hope. Don't ever give up hope. Amen. Hallelujah. God's good, brethren. He's a wonderful God. I love y'all and appreciate you. Thank you for more than adequate time tonight. Amen. I hope said something in the midst of a long message, in the midst of correction, reproof, exhortations, and rudeness. I pray that God gives you something. Amen. To help you, to strengthen you. Amen. Brother Micah, if you'll come up and dismiss us. Love y'all. Pray for us.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for the message that was brought forth this evening. God, help us to take heed and examine ourselves, Lord God, and keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.